Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kane & Rince Sound of Play 28.
Thank you.
Sound of Play, we bring you an eclectic fortnightly mixtape of some of our and your favourite pieces from the many sublime and ridiculous video game soundtracks we've enjoyed and endured over the decades. Joining me, Leon Cox, in this Sound of Play are Darren Gargett.
I'm Swain.
And Joshua Garrity.
Hello there.
Hello. So, we opened there with a bit of a cheat because many times I've said, you know, we ask for your requests and we still want them. Head over to canorince.com/forum and put in your picks for future Sound of Plays or Sounds of Play, Sound of Plays. And I always say, no licensed tracks, please. But we've bent the rules there with that opening track, lovely as it was. That was requested by Scrussel, a regular poster on our forum, who says, this song from Braid is actually a licensed track, as is the whole soundtrack. But it is so closely associated with the game and it fits so well that I don't think it really matters. Downstream is a brilliant folk track with lots of strings. It has a sense of eeriness to it, but also a great upbeat feeling too. And I agreed, and he twisted my arm. So we've heard Shira Kamen's lilting piece that I'm sure most of us, I even listened to some sort of fairly obscure folk and stuff in my spare time, but I wasn't aware of that track before playing Braid, and now I completely associate it with the whimsical but slightly eerie and melancholic opening to that game. Any other fans of the Braid? Any other fans of the Braid soundtrack among us in this show?
No, I've never really played Braid. I've tried, and I feel like I should get on it and finish it, but there's just something about it that doesn't really click with me. I've tried twice, and therefore the music doesn't really sit in my head.
Bounced off it.
Interestingly, like, Braid always seems like a game that I, based on, you know, my tastes, I should like, but I don't really like Braid, I have to say. And the music's part of it as well. For whatever reason, it just doesn't click with me.
Oh, okay. Well, I do like the music. I've never finished the game. And as you can hear, this is probably why, although it's been requested a number of times from by the community that we should do a Braid podcast, it's certainly a game that's on the very, very long list that is now well over 1,000 games strong. But spoiler, I'm afraid it won't be coming up in the next year either, because we've already decided our next 50 podcasts and Braid is not among them. And I think we've just really given you the reason why. None of us have really managed to, well, not none of us, none of us three here. And I think there are one or two people on the team who have finished it, but for whatever reason, a few of us have bounced off it. It may be, of course, that when we finally do get round to tackling it, that'll make it one of the most interesting discussions, especially if we can persuade some of those like Darren and Josh who haven't really enjoyed what they have played, if they could get to the end of it and then talk about it, that would perhaps be more interesting. So there's always that incentive, fellas, eh? Eh?
Yeah, yep. I'd give it another shot. I've watched Indie Game the movie a few times. You know, I'm really interested in Jonathan Blow's, you know, outlook on games. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I've got about halfway, but it started to get a bit obscure for me. But there are so many people on my friends list who have, you know, got every puzzle piece that I don't think it can't be beyond me. Surely not. But it does hurt my head a little bit, I must admit. Anyway, on to something much simpler for us simpletons, a game from the Mario & Luigi RPG series, as they're known in Japan. And this was the most recent one until now, until this year. This was 2013, Dream Team or Dream Team Brothers or Bros.
Bros.
If you're in Europe. Try again, Darren?
Yeah, so when I did my first half marathon last year in Birmingham, I compiled my own video game, marathon playlist, and this was one of them. It featured in the 3DS version of Smash Brothers, and I really liked it. And I was like, where's this from? So as you do, you scroll through the credits that seem, more than any other game, endless in Smash Brothers, because they have every Nintendo, you know, license and soundtrack, and just it's just a massive Nintendo compilation for fanboys, as well as a good party game. But yeah, Try Again was in there, and I was like, I can't remember what game that's from, but it's got a really good snappy beat, and it's really fast moving, and it helps you, you know, if you're a runner, it helps you, you know, move to the beat, much like Dan Rodriguez's track from Rumbo recently played on this very podcast, or this series of podcasts. Yeah, but I was doing, again, the Birmingham Half Marathon, listening to that Rumbo track. And it was such an adrenaline boost that it made me tear up, like, because the energy expending for running is it's crazy. So when that track came on and I got all the goosebumps from this track I never heard before, it just reminded me of Try Again doing the similar thing, where I was such at a down moment in my half marathon that when this track came on, it just picked me up. And it's amazing what music can do. Like, it can touch, you know, most senses. And this one was definitely the try again aspect of me running through a half marathon. It's like, come on, like, you've got another mile, try again. And it all kind of just fit together. This is from Mario and Luigi Dream Team Bros. And it's...
Brothers.
I did it then without even thinking. It's just natural. And this is from the battle music. And... yeah, I really like the whole series. I like Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario, and I'm really excited for the new one that's coming out next month in Europe, like you say. I always flip between, do I like Paper Mario or Mario and Luigi more? But at the end of the day, it's a bit of a pointless argument. But they
like
are merging.
Them both.
Well, that's it, yeah. But the Sticker Star was a bit of a letdown, so I'm hoping that the Paper Mario influence doesn't ruin Paper Jam, as
but it's
called.
By the same team who make the Mario and Luigi games, isn't it? It's not by the Paper Mario team.
No.
So it should be another... although it brings in some of the elements, the Paper Mario elements of the gameplay, it's actually put together by the fairly consistent Mario and Luigi team. So yeah. I doubt you'd have anything to worry about.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it regardless. I forgot what I was going to say. Have a listen. It's by Yoko... Oh, God, here we go.
Shimomura.
I was going to say that. And apparently he's done a track on Parasite Eve.
She.
Just showing my ignorance here.
She is a legend. She worked on Street Fighter 2 and Final Fight. She is one of the great composers. Yeah, she started at Capcom back in the 80s. Yeah, she's a legend.
Because I was filling out our little spreadsheet here, and it automatically filled in. I was like, hold on, what's she done before? So I scrolled up, and it's Parasite E2, and what a flip, do you know what I mean, between the Squaresoft game and a Nintendo game. It just proves their flexibility, I guess. And
yeah, she composed all but three of the original Street Fighter 2 tunes from the World Warrior, but she's also worked on Front Mission and Breath of Fire, Legend of Mana. Yeah, she's amazing.
Wow, that's incredible. So yeah, Try Again by Yoko Shimomura.
So any plans now you've done the half marathon? Have you done more than one half marathon?
I've done three in total.
Three half marathons, one and a half marathons. Any plans to extend this out? No?
No. It's I want to, and every time I finish a half marathon, your brain's like, you could do a full one, and then you take a little bit of time off because you need to repair your bones and your muscles, and then you kind of like go, I can't be bothered, and then you just... exercise is a new thing for me that I've been doing for the last sort of year, and well, nearly 2 years now. And it's such a thing that feeds on itself. Like, if you do it, you do it a lot. But as soon as you take a break, you tend to not, you know, it's easy not to do it. And I'm in the phase where it's easy not to do it. So, I've just done a half marathon in Birmingham, and it was quite interesting to go back to a place where I did my first one. It's quite nostalgic that way. And, you know, I see Paul Schott, and he was an inspiration for me to start running and lose my man breasts. he's doing marathons. I think he's just done his full marathon, and he said it's really good. So I'm thinking about it, but that's probably about as far as I'll ever go.
Yeah, my running friends all said, you know, I'll never do a marathon, and they do a marathon, and then they say, oh, I'll never do another marathon, they do another marathon. Yeah. It becomes, they get addicted to the endorphins.
It is a crazy rush that you do really kind of look forward to, but getting to that point of elation is a nightmare.
Me, I'm just losing my 40 something man breasts by eating a lot less food.
Yeah,
which also works. Yeah. Right. On to Joshua Garrity and his first pick, which is also, the last one was a Nintendo track, of course, but this is a Capcom track from the stable of Shimomura. But this is Masakazu Sugimori, who we've heard from before as well. And the game is Phoenix Wright. Josh, why have you picked this one?
So I recently completed the first Phoenix Wright, and it was kind of part of my ongoing urge to try and complete all the games that I think are classics, or people consider classics, or what have you, or just games that are held in quite high regard, and trying to kind of, you know, scratch those off of my list and try and get them all done. And yeah, I mainly went back to Phoenix Wright because of Ghost Trick, which we covered in issue 42 of Kane and Rince. That is a game that I have a lot of affection for. And knowing that the team who worked on Ghost Trick originally worked on this Phoenix Wright and then that trilogy of games, I think they that group kind of moved on as it went into the later entries into the series, but the first three games were the Ghost Trick team. And I was struck by, again, how much of Sugimura's soundtrack really felt like it wasn't just a soundtrack where it felt like he composed some great music. It felt like he was actually part of the development process of this game and was really paying attention to the different beats and different moments of the courtroom sequences, and trying to capture the momentum and kind of atmosphere and feel of certain moments during court cases. And there are certain recurring themes throughout the game that kind of play at key moments during the court cases. And Pursuit Cornered is the track that plays when you've basically gotten a witness to fully admit everything. They're just shaking in their chair and everything, all the truth is spewing out of them. And it fills those moments with a great sense of elation and makes the player feel like, yes, finally, we've cracked the case. And I love the energy that all of his music injects into these scenes that I think would be lesser without the soundtrack. I think Phoenix Wright is definitely one of those games where the presence of the soundtrack is essential in a lot of ways to give the game the feel it has, because otherwise it would just be an episode of Law and Order. But with that soundtrack, it becomes this wacky, crazy courtroom drama just so much fun. So this is Pursuit Cornered by Masakazu Sugimori.
Excellent, urgent stuff there from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, or Gakuten Saiban, Turnabout Trial, as it was originally known on the GBA in Japan back in the early 2000s. Now you can play Phoenix Wright on the DS, on the PC, on the 3DS, on the iOS things. Don't know if there's an Android version. Guess there isn't. One of the reasons Ghost Trick was back in our minds recently was because it was one of the games that was pulled from the Apple Store after the recent major iOS upgrade because it was incompatible. And it looked for a little bit there like it might not come back, which would have made a lot of people very sad. But fortunately, Capcom saw fit to update it, and it is now back. You can download it again. If you've downloaded it before, you can buy it for the first time. It's back on the App Store. That's Ghost Trick. I think Phoenix Wright is also there in a sort of trilogy format, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which you can buy episodically or whatever. Suffice to say that Phoenix Wright is one of our most requested games to cover. Watch this space is all I'm going to say about that. Next up, we have another short one. This is from me, and this is an odd one because it's not like a tune as such that I particularly love. It's not like a piece of music that's been with me for years and years, but in fact, it's one of those pieces that, because I associate it so closely with a very specific time in my life, the autumn of 1993, to be exact, that I've barely listened to it since. But when I do listen to it now, and pretty much anything from the same soundtrack, it is properly, you know, it transports me back to being age 21 at that point in my life, having recently moved out of home and got together with the girlfriend. And, you know, just, you know how some piece of music can just absolutely put you in the time and place. And this is from Soccer Kid. Now, you know, there were a number of football-based platformers came out in the in this period. Actually, I suppose if you go all the way up to Go-Go Beckham, there was quite a long gap because that was early 2000s. But I've often joked about doing a trilogy series with Soccer Kid, Marco's Magic Football, and Go-Go Beckham on Kane and Rince. That won't be coming up in the next volume, but I still plan to do it someday. Although Soccer Kid I never finished because it gets really, really hard. This was by a British software house, Chrysalis. And one of the things I really like about it is it harks back to a time when English UK-based software houses would often just include sort of snapshots of urban life in their games. So you would get a game like Jack the Nipper or Kickstart with its Rochester course, or Back to School, I suppose, which, you know, sort of precursor to Bully, which would just have little, you know, just little glimpses into normal, ordinary urban or suburban UK life. And Soccer Kid came along after a lot of, you know, console platformers had hit the market. There's a real Sonic the Hedgehog influence in there, both musically and in terms of the way it plays, although you've got a football. It's also like a really much far more refined, in my opinion, version of Zool, which was, you know, hugely popular, but I always thought played terribly. Soccer Kid was a really interesting game in that you had this whole extra set of manoeuvres with the ball. You know, you could do keepy-uppies, you could do overhead kicks, you used the ball to collect things and to knock over enemies. It had these big, bright, colourful sprites, especially the AGA version. But this tune is called Hometown, and it's from the level at the start. And the Chrysalis Studio, which, you know, it was a fairly big name back in the 8 and 16-bit days, and it was based in Rotherham. And the Hometown level is a rainy Rotherham street, basically. So you've got a British kid kicking a football along a rainy British street, and That charm, combined with the fact that this piece of music just takes me back to being 21 years old, is why we're about to listen to it now. Yeah, hopefully you will have got the fully divided split stereo version from the Amiga there. So if you're listening on headphones, that's probably done your head in a bit. I'm sorry about that. But that's the way it was back then. Matt Furniss was one of those names. He's not necessarily somebody that sort of gets touted about as you know, like one of the maestros of the era, but actually he was responsible for an awful lot of some very jolly, likeable music from, you know, late 80s all the way up to sort of 2000 across multiple games, many, many formats, lots of Mega Drive conversions of Amiga games and things like that. So, yes, credit to Matt Furniss there. Now for something completely different. As is our way on Sound of Play, this I can't believe we haven't finished this before, but then featured this before. But then again, I suppose we've only done 28 of these podcasts. We've certainly featured the composer before, Uematsu, and this one is the Prelude. Follow My Ruin requested it, and he says, in what feels like the podcast suggestion equivalent of shooting fish in a barrel, I'd like to put forward the Final Fantasy Prelude. While they're all largely variations on a theme, I've shared the Prelude from Final Fantasy IX for the arbitrary reason that I like it most. Uematsu famously composed this in only 10 minutes, which belies the fact that it's one of the only persistent threads that runs through this important series. It's a beautiful and simple track, and a true prelude to some of the heavier pieces in the games themselves. I like the Prelude to IX in particular, as it's like a lullaby, which evokes a sense that you're drifting off to sleep before going into the game. I doff my hat to Uematsu for this gem. I still mainly associate the Final Fantasy Prelude with 7 because I think it was my first Final Fantasy. And that version still haunts me. But yeah, I do like the different variations.
I do really like that that prelude we just heard. The variation on the theme, I should say. It reminds me of starting a Zelda game and hearing that, you know, the save menu music.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the sort of fairy music. Yeah,
yeah, you know, and I've never finished a Final Fantasy game. The furthest I ever got was 7 where your buggy breaks down and I got lost and I couldn't actually find my way out of disc 3, I think, or disc 2. But yeah, that is a really nice piece of music. I really enjoy that. And it's you know, it is so simple, but at the same time, like, less is more in that case.
Mm-hmm. Josh, you a fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I've played and completed more Final Fantasy games than both of you. I'm just assuming that, but yeah.
No, you are, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. You're definitely right.
But like Leon, I think I associate it most with 7, just because, again, that was my first Final Fantasy game, and ultimately, I think with that series, your first one is going to be the one that leaves the biggest impression. So that's the piece of music that I think of when I think of this theme.
Now, as is usual, the crashing juxtaposition of the sublime and the ridiculous. Here we go. Darren, what have you got for us?
Well, it was going to be from a CD that I picked up in Tokyo, a heavy metal band called We Are Rockmen. They cover Mega Man tunes. And we listened to it as we landed back from Japan. And we listened to it just to remind ourselves how amazing Japan and Tokyo is. But then my brain started, you know, going down a little rabbit hole of music and Japanese games that had crazy music in. And I was reminded, but purely just by thinking, that I used to be heavily, heavily into Dance Dance Revolution during the craze, you know, the PS1 era, where everyone was buying dance mats, and even the crazier people were buying the heavy dance mats that you could, like, I think it was like
plastic or metal. Yeah.
Yeah, the metal ones that were like, you know, you couldn't move them if no matter how hard you stood on them. And I was really into this game, that I should say, Dance Dance Revolution. It's kind of hard to tell which version you're playing, depending on which region, and, you know. But this one, Dynamite Rave by Naoki Mida, I'm going to say. Excuse me for the bad pronunciations. It's from Dance Dance Revolution 5th Mix, and in Milton Keynes, in the escape where the snow and the skiing and the stuff happens, there used to be an arcade underneath. There's still an arcade there now, but it doesn't feature the Dance Dance Revolution. There used to be an arcade that did. It was underneath, kind of underneath the ski slopes and all the fancy stuff. It was kind of really dark and mysterious. And in the corner, there was a Dance Dance Revolution machine. And I got really into playing this game, particularly this song, in which I played it so much that I was one of those show-offs that could press the button combo. I think it's left, down, right, down, left, and you could turn the arrows off. So what I used to do is turn the arrows off and play it back to front. So I used to watch the crowd watch me as I was playing this song.
Man.
It was the only song I could ever do it in.
Showboat.
Because, yeah, it was. And honestly, like, people were really impressed by silly things that you can do on arcades. It was. They were like, "Oh my god, how did you do that?" Like, you felt like a little mini pop star in your own little bubble for like a split second when people were like coming up to you afterwards, and you're like, "This is really weird." Yeah, but this song, I know all the words, obviously, because I've heard it, you know, 100 times, maybe more. And once upon a time, when I was in London, I was on a first date with a girl, and we were both well into this game. I've totally forgotten her name. I think it was Sophie. And I was doing the things that I was doing, back to front. I was wearing some very tight trousers, and they split, and my bum was on show. suffice to say, there wasn't a second date. It was over. But,
I would have thought, if anything, there'd be a second, third, fourth, fifth date.
The nervous Darren of today was only exacerbated a millionfold. And it was probably me who said no to the second date because I was so shy. And this is Dynamite Rave by Naoki Mida. Dance Dance Revolution, 5th Mix.
Stay on.
Yeah. So speaking of arcade shops, because I remember watching, this was a big craze. I think you can still find one or two dancing stage machines there and about. So I've seen them in London, seen them in Brighton, I think. And this was a big deal, and there was a brief home craze, just I think this sort of predated the Wii stuff, because I remember regular folks, at work and that, non-gamey types, buying dance mats for Christmas and,
definitely.
And dancing stage Europe mix or whatever it was called over here on the PS1. But I remember watching some astonishing arcade showboating from like the Trocadero and stuff, where these people would be, they'd be playing the hardest songs on the hardest
Afro
settings.
Nova. God, right. Afro Nova, yeah. Oh.
And just like, it's a proper, it's like Britain's Got Talent level of stuff going on there. I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I mean that, like one of the good dance troupes or whatever. Mm. Well, it's someone who's got a real level of skill and fitness and whatever. But they would do things like they would like run a lap of the arcade between bars, between phrases and stuff like that. It was just insane. But I totally know what you're saying about sort of the arcade show-off thing, and it just struck me now, because it's part of the gaming culture that's pretty much gone, which makes me sad. But I suppose it's kind of metamorphosed into the kind of sharing clips kind of thing, which isn't the same, because you haven't got spontaneous applause. Like I remember completing arcade games and getting a crowd back in the 80s, and it was a real sort of pose, real show off thing, and it was great for a little nerdy kid to actually have somebody like applauding your actions for once. But yeah, it's not something that really happens anymore, sadly. No.
Well, when we were in Tokyo, I was watching a guy playing Tekken 7. This is back in April. Are they not happy with us watching them play games? Because are they really shy, or do they just not approve of it? I don't know, but he was he was giving me the look as to say, yeah, can you not watch me anymore, please? But I was also watching another guy play a card game, a soccer card game.
Yes, yeah, that's massive over there, the Sega one, yeah. It was over here for a bit, and I did actually start playing that. It was pretty cool, but it's a bit of a money and time sink, yeah.
And I think the guy playing, I don't know if I told the story before, actually, but I think the guy playing was a bit embarrassed when two white guys, me and my brother, walked over, and his team was Newcastle, and they were and it was called White Trash. And he was just kind of smoking, because that's what they do in arcades. They were smoking. Yeah. He was smoking away, and he had like this kind of like shy but smug smirk on his face, like white trash. He's like, I can't believe two white guys walked behind me. White trash. It was kind of funny. I just laughed and just carried on watching the weird soccer game.
Those were cool, those games. Little deck of player cards and everything. I think there isn't, even though I've given up smoking for some years now, I would love to just go over to Japan and spend a week in an arcade smoking and playing video games. That Brilliant. Would be like heaven.
I don't even smoke, but I really like passive smoking. I really like the smell, because everyone around me does it, so I'm used to it. And when someone smokes outside, I catch it, and it relaxes me a little bit. It does. So going into an arcade where people are playing these crazy video games and smoking, I was kind of in my element as a non-smoker. It's really weird.
Enough of these arcade tales. Well, actually, it's not, because there's a link here. We've just heard a little bit about Tekken, and you were asking there, Darren, about whether to watch or not. I'm sure, just like over here, it varies from person to person.
Yeah, of course.
And in fact, I like being watched. I like being watched when it was a game I was good at. I didn't like being watched when it's a game I was bad at, which still, still the case now. Like, I don't tend to stream, but I think I'd only stream me playing something I was pretty confident that I was all right at, because having people watching you doing badly at something is just really, it makes it worse, doesn't it? It's just really, it gets you really angry. But Tekken, so that you were watching 7, but some years ago now, predecessor came out called Tekken 5, and Josh has brought a track from that game.
Yes, so I brought the track I'm Here Now from Tekken 5. Now, usually this is the part where I name a composer that's made this track, but as is the case with Japanese games, it's really hard if there are multiple composers to kind of find out who in particular composed an individual
track. Well, just name
track.
Two of them. Just name the two of them,
Josh. Here's the thing, Leon. Tekken 5, in an unusual case, I would say, it has 17 composers. Yeah. So I'm not going to name them all because at a certain point I'm going to trip over and embarrass myself or pronounce somebody's name wrong. So I'll just say that there are 17 composers for Tekken 5. I don't know which one of them composed this track, but if you want to see the full list of names, go look up Tekken 5 and find out for yourself. But it's a bit odd that this track is actually called I'm Here Now, because so for anyone who doesn't know, Tekken 5 kind of has two openings. The first opening is with Heihachi Mishima and Kazuya, and they've just woken up because the Tekken mythology is really weird, people. So Devil Jin had flown out of the temple and those guys are like, what's going on? And then a bunch of Jacks kind of get shot into the temple and they have a fight. That's the first opening. And then the second opening is terrible. And it has this track, this J-pop track that actually has the lyrics I'm Here Now in it. And so it's really odd that the track before that one is called I'm Here Now. But anyway, the reason why I've picked this one is I really love this first opening, even though it is absolutely like the most ridiculous thing you can think of. It's a bunch of two middle-aged men fighting off a bunch of robots, doing crazy Dragon Ball Z punches and what have you. But the sequence is so perfectly in time with this piece of music that it just makes the whole thing feel like a dance sequence. And I know I've said that kind of in the past, but this really, really does feel like a music video in a lot of ways. Just the way the fight sequence is choreographed and shot, it feels like it's not like the music's been composed for that scene. It's almost like the scene has been choreographed to this music. Like this music has already been composed and the animators are trying to kind of match it. Tekken 5 in general, I think, has a really strong techno kind of dancehall soundtrack. I'm not usually a fan of that genre of music, but for whatever reason, I think Tekken 5 kind of represents a lot of the best examples of that genre for me, at least from the Japanese scene. There are a couple of duds here and there. I'm not a fan of the second opening, like I said, but this track in particular is really great. So this is I'm Here Now. We'll be right back.
Here Now by one of 17 composers. Even though I've owned multiple versions of that game on PS2, PSP and PS3, I don't remember the two different intros, but I do know that the two different intros thing is kind of a series staple for Tekken. Even if you go back to the originals on arcade and PS1, the PS1 versions would have both the arcade original opening, which would be shorter and simpler generally, and then they would have the CD, you know, the sort of CGI intro. So I wonder if it might be that the Tekken, one of the intros might be the arcade intro and one of them might be the home retail sort of expansive CG intro. If you remember, Tekken 3 had a CG intro, but it also had the Embu, which was the amazing sort of choreographed, again, it was a sort of choreographed sequence with lots of the characters doing their moves to a different tune. That was well funky. I was thinking of bringing some Tekken music actually, but that Embu tune might have been one of the ones, but I was also thinking there's one from the very first Tekken. Some of the music, I think, has not aged very well, but there's a couple of tunes which, again, talking about pieces of music that transport you back, remembering that Christmas when I first got Tekken, 1995, and just being just staggered by the level of graphics that were on display and audio visual fidelity and stuff. It was a very exciting time. Hard to imagine now when you look at Tekken's blockiness and whatever, but I'm sure some of you were there. Now I've found a way of getting in a track by a real band that I really like because they wrote a song especially for a game, and it is part of that soundtrack of from Portal 2. And I mentioned it on our Portal 2 podcast back in Cane Ridge podcast issue 130. We also did the original Portal in 126, and it's by The National, an American band of two sets of brothers and a singer and lyricist, Matt Berninger, or Berninger, I've never been sure. They're quite a sort of moody band, but they do an awful lot with a very limited palette, I think it's fair to say. That's not to say they're not talented, because they're extremely talented, but they I think people who wouldn't enjoy their music would say that it probably all sounded a bit the same, but I actually think within their sound they do a lot of interesting stuff. I've got many of their albums and I enjoy them all. I'm a particular fan of Alligator, which I think from about 2005. But yeah, this is a track that's I think only heard in the game via a tinny radio that you can find somewhere. But it seems to relate generally, and that seems to time with this. It seems to relate to the is it Doug Ratman, the story that came out of the Ratman dens from the first game. It's worth seeking this out on YouTube because somebody's made a sort of animated video to go with it, which tells the story of the song. But this song, you know, like The National's output, is a lot, it's kind of a lot more serious and brooding and darker than actually the tone of, you know, the comedic tone of Portal, albeit with sort of slightly scary bits. But anyway, I really like it. Beautiful piano, beautiful orchestration. I love Matt Berninger's baritone. So here it is, an actual song.
Exile. It takes your mind. Again, exile, it takes your mind. Again, you got sucker's luck. Have you given up? Does it feel like a trial? Your mind.
Exile Vilify from Portal 2 by The National. Now remember, Sound of Play isn't just about what we like. So we need you to continue to venture over to our forum at canarince.com, where you should anyway, because, you know, it's growing. There's lots of people there. It's friendly. It's intelligent. It's unlike most game forums in that regard, where you can request your favourite songs or other curios and oddities, as long as they're not licensed tracks, unless there's a special reason. Yeah. We'll continue to include a selection of those in the playlist for every regular Sound of Play show that we do. There's a particular thread, a Sound of Play submissions thread in the Sound of Play folder, where we like you to give us a little reason why you're requesting something and share a link with us as well. That's ideal. Please also remember to leave Sound of Play an iTunes review or a review on whatever other platform you get it on, or just engage with us in some way on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. We like all that. Now, somebody who has done a request, made a request, is he's a friend of the show, but I think that's okay. Catatonic Gnarly, or John, has requested that we finish with a track from the original Panzer Dragoon. Now, we featured music from other games in this series before, but strong soundtracks all the way through, as far as I'm concerned. And John says, my only memory and knowledge of Panzer Dragoon was playing it for 15 minutes on a display model Sega Saturn in Hamleys on Regent Street, back in the days when the video game section was relegated to the small back corner on the top floor. This track, Flight, plays over the first level and perfectly accompanies flying on Dragonback above a sea littered with ancient ruins. Even though I only played Panzer Dragoon for a few minutes for the best part of 20 years ago, this piece of music has always stayed in my head. So, before I go, it just remains for me, Leon, to thank Darren. Thanks, Darren.
Yes, thank you.
And Joshua.
Goodbye.
And this is Yoshitaka Azuma with Flight from the 1995 original Panzer Dragoon by Team Andromeda. Until the next Sound of Play. you just ignored my request. My question, were you wearing pants?
You don't want to know the answer.
I do.
Ignorance is bliss, Leon.
How far? No, never mind.